Hey, Mike, did you have Gerard Gallant getting fired first in your coach's pool?
Definitely wasn't at the top of my list. I had somebody else at the top of mine.
Who was that?
He hasn't been fired yet.
No? Alain Vigneault?
No. We'll talk about it. Let's do it.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're going to speak with Arthur Staple from Newsday in just a little bit. We're going to talk about the win against the Calgary Flames at the Bark on Monday night. And, of course, that disappointing West Coast trip, one win in three games. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. What's going on?
I don't just win a game, so we have that going for us.
Yeah, well, real impressive.
Oh, come on.
Real impressive
performance.
Dude,
you take the 2 points and run.
Of course you take 2 points, but what does it matter at this point? You think you called that an impressive win over the Flames?
I did not say it was impressive.
Wasn't an impressive win.
Did I say it was impressive?
I didn't say that, but is there anything really to be too? Here's the only thing I take out of the game. Grice should play every night.
Yes.
That's pretty much what I took out of that Flame game. They can't score goals. They just can't. And they give up goals in the third. I mean, listen, I know it was early in the third this time, but you took a lead into the third. A team once again tied it. You had to go to overtime. Who cares, because it's a Western Conference team. That stuff doesn't really matter when you're playing the West. But still, this team's got bigger problems. The West Coast trip was pretty interesting last week also. They did get a win. Nice. They had a couple of other games where they were minutes away from points. You know, 1 minute at San Jose. How do you lose that game after tying the game with a minute left? How do you do that?
You know who can score goals is Ryan Strome. Yeah, mainly because he can't get a spot in the lineup.
Ryan's having a tough go right now. It's hard for me, Bri, to put all the blame for the team not scoring goals on him.
Of course not.
I mean,
it's become clear that he is the whipping boy for Jack Capuano.
When
things aren't going well, let's just scratch Ryan Strome and go from there.
Yeah, I guess that's his go-to when things aren't going great is to sit Ryan down. Ryan seems real happy about it.
Oh, man.
I mean, he's taking it real well.
It was myself, Arthur, who we're going to speak with in a few minutes about this, obviously, and Christian Arnold. It was just the three of us. It was well after the morning skate was over.
Because he stayed out there, right? Because he stayed out there and kept
skating. The scratch always does.
Right.
But he comes back in, he sits down, he answered our questions, and before I left, my last question was, are things good between you and Cappy? He's like, shrugs his shoulders. I think so. Maybe ask him.
Go ask him.
Whoa. Well, yes. I know what that means.
Right. And we've kind of seen stuff like this from Ryan in the past.
Not like that,
Not like that. I mean, you know, him kind of having a blasé attitude.
He's scratching the playoffs.
Listen, I don't blame the kid. The kid wants to play, but the problem is him and about 80% of the rest of the team, they don't score.
Which is why I think Strome is so upset. Why is it always me who is sitting?
Right. Why isn't Brock Nelson sitting for a couple of games?
Right.
Why isn't...
It took Anders Lee forever to get
going.
Before
Anders Lee had a couple of goals in L.A. and San Jose, why wasn't
he sitting? Why does Jason Chimera play every night?
And Chimera, geez, sidebar here. Hey, Jason, when you get a breakaway, how about putting it on the net?
Right.
Okay, Jason, please. Okay? How about that, Jason?
It's bad, man. But I don't think it's anything. I don't think Strome is making all these mistakes out there that is justifying him being scratched. He's not Franz Nielsen. He's not this dynamic two-way center who's going to be great in his own end of the ice and then get 50 to 60 points. But he's certainly capable of getting 50 points because we've seen it already. So I don't know how he's fallen this far so quickly. It's really perplexing, Mike.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I've been hard on all these guys. But it's, you can't sit everybody.
Right.
And that's one thing. I'd sit 5-6 guys on this team right now. They probably shouldn't be playing. And is he in that group? Yes, he is. He's in that group. But you're right. There seems to be a situation where he gets singled out. Do you think does he get jumbled around? Is he the kind of kid who needs stability with either playing with the same two guys, or does he have to play center every night? Does he have to play wing every night? What is it that this kid needs?
I think it's a combination of the two things that you said. I think moving him back and forth between center and the wing really hurt him, as we spoke with Dan Saraceni a couple weeks ago about it. I think that's part of it. And I think the other part is the constant he's playing with different players every 15
minutes. Plays with Johnny one night. He plays with Brock and
Andrews
another.
How do you go, like, 2 weeks ago, to the day, he was promoted to the top line.
Right.
And now he's not playing at all.
He's not even playing.
This doesn't happen with any other team in the league.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Here's the only thing that, in my opinion, is going to solve Ryan Strome's problems. He needs a change of scenery.
He really does. And it's such a shame. If they're not gonna change the coach, then Ryan Strom needs to go somewhere else because he deserves to play somewhere.
It's too bad that we have to always go to this because we did this with Nino also.
Right.
He needed a change of scenery.
Right.
And now Ryan Strom, in my opinion, he needs a change of scenery because there's a rift. I think that's pretty clear at this point.
It's totally evident.
And, you know, if he's not – I'm not saying not giving his all, but if he's going to get down on himself so easily when he does get back in the lineup, I think that you just have to – you got to cut bait and you just got to go. That's it.
It's a bad scene right
now. I don't know what kind of value he has. He can't have much right now. None of these guys can.
I mean, not if he's not playing, and even when he is playing. I mean, look, he's not putting up points. We know that.
Right.
So Jack can obviously use that as a crutch when he explains why Ryan's not playing. But at the end of the day, he's never going to get going if he's a healthy scratch every night. And now that because they won on Monday, he's not going to play against Pittsburgh.
No, he's not going to play because and Jack's, you know, reasoning. I like the chances that we generated in the lineup. You scored two goals again.
Right.
You score two goals every night.
Every night.
One or two.
Yeah.
When was the last time this team's broke out four or five goals in a game? I'm trying to find it, Brian. I can't.
it's amazing.
I can't find it.
I think the one...
4-2 win over Vancouver. Yeah, big victory that was.
Right.
About on November 7th, they scored four goals that night. It doesn't happen. Well, they won 5-1 over Toronto on October 30th. This team doesn't score goals.
And part of it was John Tavares wasn't scoring. He got his first goal against the Flames. It was his first goal since November 3rd, Mike.
Right.
November 3rd.
It's been a tough go for Johnny. You see it. We've talked about it. You see it on his face.
Yeah.
After the games. He was happy last night, of course, because they won. They need to get something going because they're not changing. The coach and the GM aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
They're not.
No, I agree with you.
It's pretty obvious. Do I agree with it? No, I don't. I don't think Brian agrees with it either.
I know.
You'd think that there needs to be something to shake it up, but not happening. So
you called it last week, Mike. He's not going. Cappy's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
I'm on board with you now.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Where's he going? He's not going anywhere.
I agree with you.
Lose 10 in a row.
They got some good news Tuesday morning. Ryan Pulock was activated. He was sent to Bridgeport. I know fans are up in arms. Oh, that's great. He's going to Bridgeport. I talked to him yesterday for a minute. He needs a few games down there to get back in the
game.
When you have a broken foot, you can't even skate when you're injured. So he basically sat on his couch.
If he's still there in a month, I'll get upset.
Right,
listen, he's got to go play a little. He's been sitting around on a broken foot. He needs games.
Yeah.
And here isn't probably the place to do that.
Agreed.
To get him back acclimated. So you send him down to Bridgeport, make things happen there.
Seidenberg has been skating, so I think we'll see him shortly. So that's a good sign. And Adam Pellick couldn't play the third period, upper body. I don't think it's anything too serious. Jack said he actually tried to start the third. He couldn't, so he went back into the locker room. So probably just the day-to-day thing.
Hopefully he'll be fine. He's played well. He's been one of the few, I guess if you want to call it bright spots. There hasn't been too many on this team. But if you want to call him that,
yeah.
He's been okay.
He's been all right. He's a third pair defenseman.
When I don't notice a guy that on defense, it usually means he's doing an okay job.
He was on the ice for the Sharks game winner, wasn't he? Him and DeHaan,
That was a disgrace. An absolute disgrace, that was. But honestly, both those games were the King game where they gave up the goal and then they just decided, you know what, forget this. We'll give up three more in a minute. You know, that's it.
We have Arthur on the phone. Arthur, Brian, and Mike, how are you, pal?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing all right. I know I promised you yesterday that Mike wouldn't yell too much. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I don't yell that often, Arthur. Now, come on.
As long as you got it out of your system already, I understand the idea of yelling. I just, direct it at me.
Arthur, I never yell at you.
Arthur, let's start with the obvious. Gerard Gallant is not replacing Jack Capuano, correct?
No. No. Gerard Gallant is a good coach. He is known as a player's coach who is not really an X's and O's tactician type, and there's another coach that's already got a job who's described the same way, and that's Jack Capuano. So I don't, even if Gallant is appealing, and obviously he's been in the organization before, I would think that if the Islanders were to make a coaching change, they'd go in the opposite direction like most teams do and get maybe a guy who's a little bit less of a player's coach and more of a a disciplinarian and someone who's a little bit more X's and O's oriented. So I wouldn't think that they'd swap out like for like in terms of making a coaching change.
And really, Arthur, I mean, from listening to Garth, I guess it was about 10 days ago now where he came out and decided to talk with everybody at the morning skate that one day, it really doesn't seem like there's a change coming on the horizon. Other than the team maybe losing 10 games in a row, I don't see any way that they're making any changes.
Not right now. You know, I think people take those, you know, votes of confidence or lack of layer of and run with them, and it's kind of strange to me because things are always changing. You know, they could, like you said, they could actually lose 10 games in a row. They could win 10 games in a row. Those seem pretty unlikely, but if they continue to spiral down and further away from the rest of the conference, then yeah, things change. And they obviously would consider a coaching change. I think the deeper into the season you go, it's far less likely that they would go outside the organization to find someone to replace Capuano. So I would think you'd be looking at Greg Cronin or maybe Brent Thompson from Bridgeport, and then put off the decision for a more permanent replacement to the off season, which is kind of what I've seen them doing all along. If they're, you know, if they stay out of the playoff chase and way down in the standings, then I think next April is probably the time you'd see them do a little bit more of a serious coaching search.
Arthur, we were talking about Ryan Strome before you came on the show. You were there with me yesterday. He looks completely miserable. I don't know if he can turn things around with this organization. Are you with me on this? Do you think he just needs a change of scenery at this point?
You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
I guess so, but I don't really see that necessarily being the, you know, there's not going to be a situation where they can trade him. Other than doing him a favor by trading him, they're not going to get much back for him at this point.
Yeah.
So I would think he's still going to be here, you know, especially leading into the expansion draft. You need guys that
right.
are under contract that maybe aren't your favorite guys to be expendable. But I think there's still some hope in that organization that this guy can get it turned around. I think his benching this time was pretty unfair.
Right.
You know, last year during the playoffs, certainly a coin toss, and obviously at the beginning of last season, he really didn't have his head on straight, and the demotion to Bridgeport seemed like it was a decent move. But this time around, there just seemed to be so many other guys, him along with them, but so many guys who have not produced. And you know, and Jack has his guys, and there's always going to be, you know, especially in desperate times, the coach is going to lean on the guys that he likes, and he's going to maybe be a little bit too harsh on the guys that he doesn't like. And it's clear, I think, at this point that Ryan Strome is not a guy that Jack Capuano is going to lean on and wants to rely on in tough times, and that, you know, is going to be difficult moving forward. I guess if we're in a situation where this team isn't going to make the playoffs and Jack Capuano is going to be out of a job in the summertime, then certainly you keep Ryan Strome, because if you still think he's got some talent and some value, then maybe a different coach could get it out of him.
Do you think it's just Arthur just bouncing him around too much? I mean, everybody gets bounced around on this team. We see it. Staying at center, he was supposed to do that. Then he's playing wing. Do you think it's a little, you know, they kind of didn't put him in great positions here to succeed? But like you say, I agree with you. There's a lot of guys on this team who could deserve to be sat down.
I mean, he had 50 points as a right
wing
2 years ago, so I don't think playing out of his natural position is the problem. I think you know, I think there are some things in his game that need to change. I don't think he's a real floater. You know, I think maybe that's not really a word I've heard used to describe him behind the scenes or anything, but I think that's the implication, that he's not hard enough on pucks and winning puck battles, and then also being able to use his creativity. I think they feel like a guy like Anthony Beauvillier combines those things better than Ryan Strome. Not that that's a necessarily one-for-one situation, but just as an example of a guy who's not a big guy but can use his size well enough, and is, you know, Beauvillier is just kind of a relentless player physically and creatively and just trying to do a lot. And I think, you know, you watch Ryan Strome play, and he can disappear for long stretches. And, you know, that's not to say that there are other guys that, as I said, who are certainly equally deserving of sitting out. But the fact that it always seems to be him first has got to be demoralizing. And I think he's as upbeat and friendly and talkative a guy as there is in the NHL, and they will always be willing to chat about whatever, especially about hockey. And yeah, I agree, Brian. Seeing him yesterday, he seemed beaten, and that seems to be a bad place for anybody who's going to try to help your hockey club.
Yeah, it's just not a good scene right now. Two-part question for me, Arthur. Has Thomas Greiss wrestled away the number one goaltending job, and do you see this whole situation getting resolved anytime soon? Because the vibe that I got from Garth a couple weeks ago was he just simply doesn't care that J.F. Berube hasn't played a minute this season.
You know, I think we're inching closer to seeing Berube is obviously dressed as a backup the last four. Not that that means a whole lot, but yeah, I think even just reading between the lines when we were out in Anaheim after the 14-round shootout and the ridiculous game that Greiss played out there.
Yeah.
Just hearing a couple of the guys say how calm he is back there and how that kind of spreads to the team, I think a light bulb goes off when you hear stuff like that. And Halak hasn't been bad. We're not singling him out, but he hasn't been good enough.
Right.
You know, this is a team that needs a goalie to steal a game or two, and Greiss stole a game in Anaheim. He was pretty good in San Jose, other than the 85-footer that he gave up. But and then he was exceptional last night, I thought, and Calgary really outplayed the Islanders for a lot of the last 40 minutes of that game. So if you can have a guy that you can rely on that's not going to give up the odd bad goal, and not even the odd bad goal, Halak, the goal in LA that beat them, a double deflection, there's nothing he can do about that, but it's still just about results right now.
Yep.
And I think Greiss is the one to carry them through, and with the back-to-back coming up, I wonder if Halak will get the game in Washington, say, and maybe that'll be the rotation going forward, or maybe it's time to see what Berube can do, because neither Halak or Greiss has really been able to beat the Capitals much the last couple of years.
Arthur, how's Andrew Ladd doing right now? Because obviously he signs a big deal in the offseason. He played maybe 3 weeks with Johnny, hasn't been near him since. He's been bounced around a little bit. Where do you think Ladd's at right now in terms of just how he's feeling? He hasn't scored any. He's got, two goals on the year. What do you think about Ladd right now?
It's obviously all in his head at this point. I mean, he had an open net to score on the power play in Anaheim, and Jonathan Bernier does the scorpion move to stop him. And not like he's been really close to scoring a goal since then, but I thought last night he was good, and I thought that line was good. Obviously, they're playing a team that's not a fantastic defensive team or a really, imposing, scary team in the Flames. But that line was good. They had a bunch of chances. Ladd had that nice move to generate on the 3-on-1 where he dropped it to Bailey alone in front of the net, who then decided to pass or try to pass, which was a little inexplicable. But sometimes things with these teams defy explanation, especially when they're in the offensive end. But I think Ladd's had some good games. I think it's not to be overestimated, hearing Jack Capuano say that he discussed with some of his leaders about line combinations on the way out to California. I know a lot of the fans kind of made fun of that, but when you're out of ideas, you try to go with what the players will be most comfortable with, and I think the lines as you see them right now, obviously that can change, I think that's what they're most comfortable with. Ladd is with guys who want to work and grind, and that maybe is something that he feels like helps him get out of funks, and Tavares is with more creative guys who can open up space and make plays like the one Bailey played on his goal, in the first period last night, and maybe that's what'll get them going, that top line going. So, I know putting him on that fourth line, whatever you want to call it, I think they had the second most even straight minutes last night, so it's not really a fourth line, but it looks strange to have your big name addition playing in that role that Matt Martin used to fill, but whatever works and whatever gets them going, I don't think there's a lot of long-range forecasting right now. They got to have wins, and however they get them is the only way that they're even going to have a sniff of getting back in this race.
Yeah, Bailey's been the whipping boy for Isles Twitter forever, Arthur, as you know. But Jason Chimera has got to be banging on that door because he has not been anything I think the Islanders envisioned. Do you think we're getting at the point where he might become the healthy scratch? Worse, maybe he gets waived, because this just has not been a fit at all.
Yeah, Jack always likes to talk about roles. That's what he brought up when he explained the initial Strome benching in San Jose, which was kind of a roundabout way of explaining it. And I think he was he was talking about Chimera. Chimera kills penalties. The penalty kill has been somewhat better the last week or two. I think he liked the game in L.A. that Chimera, Quine, and Lee had. And they do generate some stuff. I just don't see that there's any finishers on that line other than maybe Lee. But, he just seems to be a square peg in a round hole so far, Chimera. He's had a little time to adjust to the penalty kill system. He's not playing power play, which is where he got a lot of his goals last year in Washington. And, he has the speed, but does he have the hockey sense really to make it work? It's almost like, we're seeing a 10 years, maybe not 10, but 8 or 9 years older version of Michael Grabner, and not the 34 goal Grabner, but the guy who would get breakaways and not really know what to do with them. So, watching that line, they've generated some stuff, but when you see them get around the net, it's hard to see where the skill is really to put some of those pucks home. And so I think he works hard and he is a good presence in the room. He's kind of a guy who's a bit of a jokey guy who keeps guys loose. Maybe there's some value there, but like I said, we're 21 games in, and it's desperation time, and I would imagine that if he can't produce and maybe there's a bad penalty kill segment, that he would be the one to take a seat.
All right, Arthur, I'm putting you on the spot before you go. You ready? Big month here, 6 of the next 8 at home. They haven't been great at home this year, as we know. When Arthur Staple is sitting in Winnipeg ringing in the new year on December 31st.
Which he's very excited about.
Are the New York Islanders alive or dead in the Eastern Conference?
Well, the only thing that I can say is I will be pretty miserable. So that's 100% accurate prediction on that. But, my feeling is it's going to be a lot sooner than that before we find out if they're alive or dead. I feel like these next 3 games, winning, getting the 2 points against Calgary kicks it further down the road. Pittsburgh at home, Washington on the road, and then Detroit. I think these 3 games, these are 2 divisional games and another team that's kind of been struggling and not down where the Islanders are, but bobbing around in Detroit. If they don't get 5 points out of this, I think that's it. I think I don't think we have to wait until New Year's to find out what's going to happen with this team. It's, I think you want to keep hope alive if you're a fan, and there's obviously a lot of games left. But I think the numbers and the recent history and probability and all that tells you you don't jump over 8 teams once the calendar turns, deep into December. There's too many 3-point games. There's too many opportunities for teams to keep floating along who have already banked some points to keep their distance from the teams that are out of it. And I know that Pittsburgh and I know that San Jose were out of it in mid-December, but they were not in last. And for the Islanders to even have any ideas about getting back in this race, and not just building up points, but beating teams that they need to beat, the Penguins, the Caps, teams in their division where they haven't had a win yet, teams in the Atlantic division like Detroit, like Ottawa comes in a couple of weeks, you got to be able to show you can beat these teams, and they've been they've been close, but that doesn't really matter anymore. So I think we'll know well before I get to Winnipeg. So like I said, the forecast is definitely for misery for me, but we'll know a lot more about the Islanders before then.
Right. Totally agree. Arthur, great stuff as always. Thanks, my man.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right,
thanks.
Arthur Staple does a terrific job for Newsday. Follow him on Twitter at Stape Newsday. The poor guy. He's away from his family for Thanksgiving,
up,
and then he's got to go to Winnipeg for New Year's.
I hate bringing it up, I'm looking for a marker here. That's all I'm doing. I'm looking for a marker. That's Arthur ringing in the new year in the igloo of the north. That'll be great for him.
Oh, man, the poor guy. But he's right. Crucial couple of games coming up here, Mike. They've got to get, as far as these next 2 games go, Pittsburgh and Washington, they've got to get 3 points at least. They have to.
You think they're getting 3 points?
No, I said they have. Say they're going to. I said they have to.
They have to get 3 points.
They do. They have to get 3 points.
I'll add in, like Arthur said, I'll add in the Detroit game here because I don't think they're getting 3 points in these 2 games.
All right.
They got to get 4 in the next 3.
4 of the 6.
So I think they got to win one of these 2 and beat Detroit on Sunday.
All right.
I don't think that they're going to get 3 points out of Pittsburgh and Washington. I just don't.
I think they need them. Don't you?
Well, they need every point. They need points every night, Brian. I mean, I'm looking at how can they actually get points.
Yeah.
Because it's been a disgrace, as we know. A, they can't score. B, what are we at right now with under 3 minutes left? Is it 8 games?
I believe it's nine.
Or 21? Is it 8 or 9?
I believe it's nine in the third period.
Right. I'm talking about there was that one in the last three or four minutes.
The West Coast trip alone was a train wreck.
Well, it's been all year. Yeah. It's been all year. Yeah. So I don't know how you can expect much coming up here. But another big, long home stretch. Man, the Islanders are going to be spending a lot of time on the road in January, February,
yes,
and March.
Well, they play, 17 of the last 24 on the road. Jeez, so if they're going to make the playoffs, you better start getting some
points
now.
Not a lot of blue on this schedule I'm looking at as we get towards the second half.
No, that's crazy.
But you know what? That could be Dal Cole and Hosang time anyway.
It could be.
So you might not see a lot of these jokers that you see out there now.
Rangers are stumbling a little bit.
Listen, they were going to come
back
down.
They've lost 4 in a row at home.
They were going to come back down to earth at some point.
It's regression to the mean. You know. They're a little banged up. Sabinajad, Buchnevich, JT Miller. Right. So.
What a shame.
Sure, our audience is eating it up.
Yeah, what a shame.
You can check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Lacalzi, and Adam Rotter. We spoke with Don LaGreca from ESPN Radio this week. To find the show, search SNY.TV Rangers on the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel. What do you think, Mike? What do you want to talk about? What's left? How about this? Anders Lee starting to get going a little bit, which is a great sign. And John Tavares, hopefully that goal against the Flames gets him going a little bit.
Well, every time this year that we've seen something that we thought was going to jumpstart somebody, it hasn't happened. So
right.
I need to see more. And I feel like it's hard because we say that every week. We need to see more. We haven't seen more.
Yeah.
We need to see more. It's great that Lee got three goals, I believe, in those two games, LA
yes.
and San Jose.
Yep.
Got three goals. Good for Anders. Nice to see him maybe get jumped, but did you notice him last night? Did you notice him in the Calgary game?
He was around
game?
The net
no,
a little bit.
Wasn't around.
Yes, he was.
Wasn't there. And by the way, where's Brock been?
Yeah.
You talk about cooling off.
I know.
Where's Brock been?
I know.
Maybe he's the guy, Jack, that just spent a couple games up in the press box.
I think it should be Chimera. He's bringing absolutely nothing to the table. He's bringing nothing to the table.
I can't believe he
he's
missed
just
that net
not.
Last night. I mean, put it on net.
Right.
Put it on net.
Arthur hit the nail on the head. That was shades of Michael Grabner from three years ago.
I couldn't believe that. I was looking at it. I'm going, this guy, he's not even going to hit the net here.
Yeah, it's bad.
He's been a disaster.
He really
so has. Is Ladd. Let's be honest.
No, he hasn't been good.
He's been a disaster.
Yeah, he
this
has
whole,
not been good.
Everything's been a disaster. This has just crumbled here. I'm sorry. I'm not giving any no hope today, man. I don't care that they beat the Flames. I really don't. You want to see me get some hope?
Yeah.
Go get a back-to-back from Pittsburgh and Washington.
Show us something over these next two games.
You watch. They'll win those two games. They'll lose 4-0 to Detroit on Sunday.
Think so? Franzi will get a hat trick?
Franzi coming back
Franzi's
Sunday.
Coming back to town.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe fill the house for that 6 o'clock on Sunday. Right there in Giants Steelers. They'll fill the house at the Barclays. I heard it was a tough crowd last night.
Wasn't great.
Wasn't great. I heard there was more scouts in the press box.
There was a lot of scouts in the press box.
Fans in the seats. Was that an
accurate
sentiment?
I won't go that far.
I didn't bring this up with Arthur, but he tweeted it last night during the game.
Yeah.
I guess people were getting on him, you know, this wouldn't happen at the Coliseum. Listen.
That, yeah. Arthur hit the nail on the head with that tweet.
A mid-November game with a Western Conference team
right.
in. What would they have gotten?
With the Islanders in last place, you mean to tell me they had 14,000 people at the Coliseum? Stop it.
We've been through this 1,000 times. We'll continue to go through it. I don't care if the Islanders are playing in the Barclays Center, the Nassau Coliseum, Flushing Meadows Park,
right.
in the Tennis Center,
right.
The New York City, Westchester, Suffolk County, or anywhere else. When the team sucks, there'll be nobody at the games.
Right.
I don't care where they play.
Fans want to see a winner.
The team stinks right now. Why would you go? I can't blame people for not going.
No.
They stink.
It's a bad scene right now. But hopefully they'll get going, because if they don't, season's over, right?
I'm with Arthur. I'm giving him till
we'll know long before New Year's.
Yeah, probably.
Because he's right.
When you're in dead last and you got to jump 15 teams.
Right. Yeah, no, he's right.
It's hard to deal with, but you're right. I think it could be decided before then. I just wanted to bring up to Arthur that he's going to be in Winnipeg on New Year's Eve.
I think he knows that already, Mike.
I'm sure he does.
Way to kick him dead in the crotch. That's great
stuff.
I love him.
I love him.
Make sure to check out NHL.com on Wednesday. I have a feature on Anders Lee. He gave me a lot of time, a lot of candid stuff, Mike.
Talk about his days in South Bend. Did you get into
it? We did not get into South Bend, but we did get into
what
I brought up with Saracen a couple weeks ago about how he has not been the same player since Jack scratched him for those last two games against
Washington. You brought that up with him?
he wasn't. You really didn't want
to
talk
about
it. I
don't want you to give away the.
Yeah, I don't
want to
give away the whole story. You guys have to read what he said, but he kind of admitted it. Like he just hasn't. It took a long time for it. Especially, it wasn't just because that he was scratched, but who he was scratched for.
Right.
Colin McDonald played 18 games that regular season, and to not live and die with the guys that got you to that point was probably still, for me, Mike, the most baffling decision Jack has made since he became the head coach.
How
do you
not ask him about South Bend?
What am I going to ask him about?
Come on.
Rudy? What do you want me to what are we going to talk about?
Wake up the echoes. Come on.
What did you want me to ask him?
I don't know. That's good, though. I'm going to look for that big feature with Brian
Absolutely.
Wednesday with Anders Lee. Right before
night.
Rivalry night.
Wednesday night rivalry.
Boomer and Craig doing the game
on
the radio.
Yes, they are.
Get ready for that.
Should be fun.
Should be. Yeah. Should be fun. They did a fun job the last couple of years doing the net games at the Barclays, so I'm sure you'll get an entertaining story.
It will be entertaining. Mike, great show. See you next week.
Absolutely, pal.
Thanks again to Arthur Staples. Enjoy the miserable weather. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.